morning. Today is Friday, November the 18th. Joining us this morning out of the city of Arcade Environmental Services, Mr. Mark Andre. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Brian. Happy to be here.
Are you?
Yes, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good way to start the day.
Depending on when the message comes across. Oh, buddy, old pal, can you help me out here? Our quote this morning, let's see if we can find something. Here we go. Hortense Kalischer. Okay. Your guess is as good as mine. Quote, "A happy childhood can't be cured. Mine'll hang around my neck like a rainbow instead of a noose." Yeah. That's kind of fun. A little flashback. You know, one of the things, I guess childhood, what is your goal with the parks? And I guess they're called green spaces now, and tree spaces for community. You know, when we were growing up, going across the street, going playing down in the gully, in the canyons, in the woods. I mean, that was normal. That was what was kind of expected. You know, out Myrtletown area, the fringe areas. You know, not in the middle of downtown, certainly. Now I don't know any self-respecting parent that would allow that, and if someone found that, you probably would get lit up on child abuse charges, or at least have somebody from the county come look at you to make sure it's not child endangerment.
Yeah.
So the goal of 40, listen to me, 40, okay, 50 years ago, probably isn't achievable today with culture as it is, but what is your guys' goals for the parks when you're just kind of sitting back in the room going, yeah, this is what we want?
That's a good question. It's real timely, too, since we are working on our, for example, Redwood Park Master Plan. We are upgrading a lot of community parks. Greenview Park, for example, getting ready to finally do something with Shea Park. Some of those parks that were purchased way back, 1979, with the parkland bond, the timber.
It's not
timber
way rubber, back, buddy.
Way back.
Hey, knock it off.
So, we're having sessions with the neighborhood groups, with the citizens on what they want, and you know we're looking at, of course, a variety of activities for people, span the spectrum of interest, but low maintenance type things, that kind of a nature play, rather than some high tech gear in some cases, is what people like, and that's the trend in a lot of park development. You know, things like go ahead and get muddy in the creek. You know, logs, of course, safe kind of play equipment, but
get dirty a little bit.
Get dirty a little
bit. It's okay.
Yeah, because kids like that and people like that too.
Can you still have the rubber mats, or are those gone in favor of the wood chips?
For protection of people from falling, we use wood chips a lot. The rubberized asphalt, I think, not quite so much. Just due to the concern about the chemical component of those.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Andre from the city of Arcata. Mark, the parks, when you're looking at your budget now with the kind of being one of the big boys in the city, does parks get its fair due? Does it get too much based on whatever references you want to use?
Well, I'll say parks and recreation in Arcata, there's a huge demand. You know, I'm throwing recreation in there. For example, youth basketball. I think we signed up 105 kids in very short order and now have to turn them away. So Arcata's facilities not only supply opportunities for Arcata residents, but, you know, the surrounding areas as well. There is an opportunity here to be more efficient, of course, with our operations. We always would like more money. We try to leverage what we have with grants when we can. Lately, we've had some fantastic donations, for example.
Just out of the blue kind of stuff?
A futsal court in our main community park.
A what?
It's kind of a small-scale soccer year-round. It's called futsal. You know, it's a different style of soccer-like activity. But it's an expensive...
It's kind of like rugby is football, sort of?
Exactly. Or indoor football or something like that.
Oh,
or,
okay. You
know, kind of a mini court.
But arena it's football?
Exactly. There you go. Arena okay. football. And we have an anonymous donor for, you know, six figures there. We recently had 40 acres of timberland added to the community forest by a donor. That was worth $800,000. And Greenview Park, there's a huge amount of community support and large and small donations to upgrade that park as well. So people are invested and interested in all sorts of parks, whether it's a dog park, whether it's more trails.
Isn't it funny that dog parks are the cool thing now, and everybody's for the dog,
yeah.
and you know, forgetting about some of the other basic things for the family. It's always been intriguing to me, but it really seems like it's, yeah. I mean, it no longer is it trendy. It is almost an expectation.
Yeah, I think off-leash areas, whatever you like to call them, are popular, and we're doing our best to have at least one or two in the community.
Does the city have, I know this sounds like a no-brainer, liability with the dog parks? A dog bites someone.
Hmm.
Are you at risk with that, or is there some kind of a implied, you bring your dog in and you're in there, you're one of the dog folks, and you know, you're on your own kind of thing?
There will be some rules, you know, of use posted, you know, in not aggressive dogs, you know, can't be just turned loose. A lot of it goes to the dog owner, and potentially there is some liability on the city's side if we do not have proper rules and posting, you know, and some follow-up patrol and check-ins and things
like
that.
So it's kind of like due diligence a little bit?
Due diligence, yeah.
Okay.
Just like our trails in the community forest, we you know, you're liable if you have poor construction, missing bridge planks and things like that. But pretty good immunity if you build it to a standard and a high standard.
So the regular stuff that we expect,
yeah.
you're pretty safe then.
Yeah.
Okay.
But back to your question or your first comment about funding.
A couple minutes ago.
Funding,
yeah.
A couple minutes ago. I forgot to mention that, you know, we're thankful and appreciative of the Arcata residents who voted in favor of Measure F, which is our utility users tax. That's an 8-year cycle that was reaffirmed again, because that's a key funding source for our general fund, which, you know, where parks and recreation derive a lot of their funding from that source, exactly, utility users tax. So
yeah, I know you guys are further along than a lot of the other areas with roads and maintenance of the mm-hmm. roads and the sidewalks and that kind of thing. But you got a big whale that you're trying to swallow out on with buttermilk. Was this a weak moment? Was there heavy alcohol usage involved when you guys decided to try to take that back? I can remember going back, I don't know, 7 or 8 city managers, and everybody saying it's an old trail. It's an old Indian trail. It's an old dairy trail. There never was a roadbed made, da-da-da-da-da, and it's going to cost blah-blah, you know. And now you guys are going after it. What happened?
Well, Buttermilk and Old Arcata Road, I should mention, too. There's a lot of interest, and the council received a presentation on a whole range of possible improvements on Old Arcata Road out to Bayside, all the way out to, you know, Jacoby Creek Road. You know, Buttermilk tears off there and is in the Sunnybrae neighborhood, part of what was the county. You know, that was all built prior to annexing into the city of Arcata, so we can blame the county for all the road layouts. And,
yeah, but I think they're all dead now, so...
You know, our Measure G, our sales tax that helps us with roads, plays a big role in us being able to even think about upgrading a road like that that has a lot of legacy issues. But it's a mainline, you know, access back to Golf Course Road and that whole loop. So it's an important corridor. School, Sunnybrae Middle School right there and everything else.
Oh, I don't think anybody questions the how it comes. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Andre, the guy who's in charge of everything Arcata, other than when Karen and Tom are here. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Mark, as you look at some of the challenges that you do have, obviously roads is a big one. You've got the waste treatment. Mm-hmm. You got the trails. You got just the normal stuff of what's going on. How do you guys determine your priority? Is it a staff? Is it funding opportunities? How do you mm-hmm. get there?
Well, the priorities are laid out by the city council in the budget process primarily. The city goals, priority projects, those are all included in our budget book, and we have quite a few public sessions on those, laying those out.
Most of them don't happen in a single budget year.
No.
Or often in a term of a councilman.
Right.
So how do you, yeah. They just kind of take those things off and then you're dealing with whatever's left?
Well, there's short-term projects and long-term projects, and that's where the capital improvement program and capital planning comes in. It's we do have a capital improvement program. We're having a update in December to the city council, December 7th, I think, on this year's projects. But basically it shows a suite of priority projects on a five-year basis and which ones get moved on to the 10-year, 15-year, sometimes depends on funding, right? Or depends on shifting or changing priorities. But we have a pretty good roadmap these days of where the priorities are infrastructure-wise, and that includes green infrastructure, the parks, drainage projects, as well as streets and things like that. The wastewater treatment plant is one of those larger items that has many components that fit into that capital improvement program. But it's vastly improved, I think, in terms of clarity going into the future. But yes, yeah, sometimes grant opportunities can change the timing of a project or leverage in funding we have to get state and federal additional support.
Right. Who writes the grants? Does each department have a grant writer? Is there a staff of grant writers?
Each department has personnel that have skills there. We sometimes assemble teams, depending on what the project is. Sometimes we will, teams of staff, work with consultants to assist us. It varies.
It's almost a specialization unto itself, isn't it?
Yes, yes. But we don't have, we have grant writing as a, you know, probably five or six different, or probably more than that, probably like eight to ten different positions have that in their job descriptions. But we don't have grant writers exclusively. So, but you have to be nimble, and there's so many potential sources of funding. There, it's not a one size fit all thing.
That's what I was saying. My understanding is it's almost like you would be an investigator, a detective, doing all that research. But if that's one of eight things that you have to do on a regular basis,
yeah.
Does it get done? Do you miss opportunities just because, you know, you got a pile of flaming over here mm-hmm. on the desk, and over here is the do some grant research? I would think that the flame would get most people's attention.
The flame usually gets most of the attention, but you have to pay attention to funding sources and opportunities, and carve out the time to be ready for them, so you don't have the stress of hand delivering a grant application to Sacramento, you know, at midnight to meet the deadline. You want to be proactive and try to time it right. The thing is, a lot of grants that we do on a regular basis, we know when those timelines are, and we just have to carve out the time to spend on them. And
so it's more of a time management rather than
time
discovery.
Management. Yeah. Yes. But also, there I have to say, there's we do a good job, I think, in trying to bring in as much funding to Arcata to supplement our local funding and to leverage our local funding. But you need the capacity to, getting the grant's one thing, but to actually administer it in a proper way and implement it, you have to have that capacity too. So sometimes you just have to say, no. We may be able to get this funding, but if we can't deliver on the implementation, we have to really think hard about it.
Or if it puts stressors on other departments that have to do something, you know, like a domino, a sequence of things to be able to activate those dollars.
Yeah, exactly. So
so you're saying I could be a bureaucrat too? KINS, News and Information Time. See, I read the subtext that crawls along the bottom of the picture.
Right.
Yeah, it's 8:41. We'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Andre. Mark, what's going to be the coolest thing that you guys can do during the winter season? You know, let's say before April 1st, what's the one thing that, other than the Christmas break, that's not fair, that the community is going to see and go, hey, neat.
The coolest thing that's visible and usable and ready to go?
That the community would be most excited about having done.
Okay. Not awarding a bid for a couple miles of Bay Trail. That's just a paperwork thing, but it leads to something for next year. We are going to build a piece of the Arcata Ridge Trail that'll connect the community forest to Fickle Hill before that. That's a small project, but tangible and a really cool piece of a 5 mile long, you know, project that we've been working on for years. So that will be complete and usable. It'll connect the unincorporated parts of Arcata on Fickle Hill. The unincorporated parts of Arcata's area, you know, our urban.
Isn't it called the Sphere of Influence?
Sphere of Influence.
Or at least that was when annexation could happen. Huh?
Yeah. and lead to just one more segment to connect West End Road all the way to Buttermilk Golf Course Road in a eastern regional trail. So that comes to mind. It's only a quarter mile, but it'll be done.
It's amazing those small little things are finally complete. And yeah, the weight gets lifted. The community,
yeah, oh,
good job. You know, I mean everything, and it's just the last little bit instead of recognizing the entire project as it was going along.
So a standalone project, very small, but in the scheme of the bigger project, you know, important in terms of connectivity. Let's see. Well, you said one thing, right? Or
you know, but if you say two, then you are overachieving.
Got to be careful about that.
Yeah, you set the bar a little high there then.
Yeah.
Are we ready for a wet winter? Like we've had a wet fall. Are we ready for a wet winter?
We are ready. Arcata's ready. We first storm out of the hopper this year was, you know, in October, a little earlier than we've seen in the past few years. That got things going, and we hope for a wet winter. Actually, we're in terms of flood control and drainage and things like that. We are ready, and
we were in up in Brookings earlier in the week in Crescent City. There was it looked like it must have been a drain failure. They closed the road at each end, and the puddle was there, and it hadn't rained in a day. Hmm. And I, you know, those have got to be your surprise moments when something like that happens. You know, something's failed. You don't know what it is, and then trying to deal with it on the fly can't be any fun.
No, especially in the dark and when it's raining. You know, those first storms, all the leaves go flying down and clog up everything. So our crews have to, that first flush, we call it. You know,
are there different designs of the grates?
There's a lot of different designs, yeah. And some of the ones we have these days downtown have these baskets in them that catch cigarette butts, pollutants, and things like that, so they don't go into our trout streams.
So it makes sense, and it makes sense. Thanks for coming by.
All right, thanks for having me.
I'll watch you next time, too. Forget Karen. See everybody Monday.